Welcome to Sent 315. We're here to encourage and equip Christians to engage in the adventure of sharing Jesus with those that God puts into their life. And we're so glad you're here. So, Brianna, I got to tell you something.
Yes.
Okay. So, I'm over at this unnamed church, Wooden Foothills, and I have a granddaughter.
Yes.
And she forgot to bring her water bottle. And she's 8 years old, and eight-year-olds, they could dehydrate. Mm-hmm. Anything could happen. Mm-hmm. And so I try to take the bottle into the sanctuary where this thing is going on. They're doing auditions for some kind of performance or something. And this woman will not let me give water to my granddaughter. And I said, excuse me, we know each other, don't we? And she said, yeah. I'm Ryan Rebol's sister. We met up at Camp Christmas, and I'm a pastor.
Do you know who I am?
And she went, big deal, Pastor Boy. Nobody's getting in there. Dang. I'll take the water to Fei-Fei because I know it's hers. And I went, okay, Fei's famous, and I'm not. And I
tried
to fill the pastor card, and it just did not happen. We're all part of the Fei fan club.
The circle is growing, too.
It really, truly is. And someday, I don't know, when child labor laws won't be affected, we'll get Fei in here. But
I feel like this episode should have opened up with that, like, there's no business like show business.
It really could be, but I'll tell you what.
I can't see my dancing, but I am.
Yeah, she is. Who we have on the show is the original Fei Elise Heilman.
Wow.
This is Shannon.
That's high praise.
Yeah, that's how you feel. But I'll tell you, I told you that. I said, when I see her, I see you. And you said, no, nobody's like
I wasn't
Fei.
That confident at 8 years old.
Crazy.
My goodness.
But where it all started is Fei's my granddaughter, and she's 8 now. But when she was about 5, she was over, and we have the girls over all the time. Just love all of them. They're all so different, mm-hmm. so wonderful. And I said, Fei, here, watch this. And we watched about an hour and a half of Shirley Temple.
Wow.
On the Good Ship Lollipop, baby. Yeah. And she said, Grandpa, I am Shirley
Temple.
Yes, she is. Oh, my goodness.
And I said, Fei, I know.
No truer words.
And she said, no, Grandpa, I really am. And I went, yeah, Fei, I know. But enough about Fei.
Yeah.
I love you, Fei.
Shannon, first of all, I just want to thank you because you have brought something to our family and our community that's just extraordinary.
You really have.
You really have. You have touched.
God brought me here.
Okay. We like that. I'm glad. Yeah. And it's really true because we've had God in the Arts, mm-hmm. right? We had a show with writers and painters and performers mm-hmm. and stuff like that. And I thought it was really important because some people can overlook that kind of stuff. God's not in that kind of thing. Look at Hollywood. It's blah, 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 blah. Or look at any performer that you think is not glorifying God. I have heard this said, we are most like God when we're creative mm-hmm. because he is a creator.
So true.
And he imagined us. And he called us good.
Yeah.
So it's really close to my heart. And I've seen what you've done. And it's just, you've got little minions running all over the place that you have just released into something that they were designed to do.
Mm-hmm,
we were just talking about God makes us different ways.
Yeah.
And you release that besides doing it yourself. And Matt, when I asked you, and I'll get out of this, we'll actually let somebody else talk. But I'm just excited, and this is how I am sometimes. But Matt, when I said, who has got the best pitch of anybody we have actually two people on the worship team here right now, but who did you say?
Wait. So she has my favorite tone.
Oh, me too.
Tone.
No, I'm a huge fan.
You are my favorite
tone. Oh, Brianna's is mine.
Kevin is my favorite tone.
Brianna, to me, is like perfect.
Yeah.
Oh.
Just get some background, okay?
We
can skip over the fact that you're married to Ryan Rebol.
Oh,
he was the first two-episode thing because it was incredible.
A lot. Big shoes to fill.
Yeah, and there's a book you can get, Nothing But Bitcoin in My Pocket.
Oh, stop.
That's not the name? Did I get that wrong? Oh, Nothing But Faith in My Pocket. And he went on this evangelism.
Yes, he's pretty awesome.
Adventure, and it was incredible. And I will give his book to the first 12 people that email me to Kevin Miller at foothillschurch.org. I did that before. Mm. I will do it again because it's really very cool.
I'm going to email you right now.
And so anyway, that's all of that. Okay, You were born?
I was born, yes.
And then Jesus found you somehow. Yes. So just how did that whole thing start your faith journey?
Oh, my faith. So I actually didn't come to know the Lord till I was a senior in high school.
Okay.
And I did not grow up in a Christian home. I came from a broken home. Amazing single mother. I didn't know what I was missing. Like, she filled all the shoes, did all the things, worked 80-hour weeks, but yet was in the front row of every show, baking the cookies for all my baseball teams. Like, she was just amazing and perfect and exactly for what I needed. But it was actually theater that God used to bring me to know him.
And that's in your senior year?
That's in my senior year. I've been doing theater since I was 9.
Okay.
And I just loved the magical, fantastical world of playing a part that wasn't you, and the escape and the costumes and the makeup, mm-hmm. and just the dancing, the singing, just everything about it, I just gravitated towards. But I'd done lots of different theater companies, and it wasn't until I found a Christian youth theater. I was 16 years old. Someone from school said, you should try out. And I did. And I actually ended up getting a nice lead role, my very first one in this company. And I just knew right away that the students and the kids there were different. I didn't know all of them, but a lot of the ones I came to know that were my age and I had a lot of scenes with and everything, they were different. And I came to find out that they had Jesus. Mm. So we had this shared passion. We had these talents that we were being able to use in this production. And then they just start talking to me about God. Then they're inviting me to church. And I remember going to College Ave's main event where all the high schools come together on Sunday nights. And it's just a blast. And there's these games. But then there's really strong messages, just very tailored to those high school students. And I went to Journey. I went to all these different places that I was being invited to because I loved the community I had found in this theater company with these kids that were just so talented, so fun, so funny. And then God started working in my own heart. And I actually was at Journey Community Church, and I came to know the Lord November of my senior year. And then a few months later, my mom actually came to know the Lord as well.
Wow.
And from that kind of catalyst of the friends I had made, she had made friends with other moms and things like that. So it was just a really special time, and then changed the trajectory of my life. God just got a hold of me, and I didn't know it at the time, but in that first show was my future sister-in-law. Mm-hmm. And
the one that let me in?
No, not that one. The younger one. We were cast in Beauty and the Beast together, and we had several scenes together. We became friends, and her friends became my friends. And it was just a really special time that the Lord showed me that I can do what I love, and I can honor him and glorify him, and that he was the one that gave me these abilities.
Mm-hmm.
And then fast forward to now, and I get to share that with my students, which is my absolute, I love my job.
Let's take a quick step back.
Okay, sorry.
And because I want to get to where we're at right now, for sure.
I jumped.
But just so they get a picture of it, number one, I can see it from a sports perspective, mm-hmm. right? Because everything that goes into a production, you have to have a team.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you guys all, I'm with the worship team now that I love and I sing louder than sometimes.
You're
you guys,
on the worship team. You stand so close to us during worship.
That's because I'm watching the subs knock the Kleenex off onto the floor. And it's bumping. But the thing about it is, just how it all fits together. I just see it. I'll come to when you're practicing, I'll come to a rehearsal and you're communicating with each other and people coming in at mm-hmm. the right time. And then you've got to be nimble because somebody could mess up or something breaks. Like Mike Van Meter, the entire power and the entire congregation, they went off. We were in the dark and he's speaking. So there's so many elements that teach you things that are really mm-hmm. important for life and for success and all of that. The other thing that I wanted to ask you is, tell a little bit more about, because you've been on tour, you've done a lot of performing in between what you're doing right now and what you did as a kid. So can you describe that a little bit?
Right after high school, I ended up touring with a company that went into public elementary schools using the kind of the medium of theater arts. We did assemblies for usually K to five, sometimes older. And we took in biblical principles, although we couldn't talk about God because they were public schools. And we did it through song, dance, dialogue. And we got to meet the kids beforehand. Sometimes we got to sit and eat lunch with them. And so we just got to love on them then. And so I did that for a couple of years. And then we moved to Tennessee. And I was doing a professional show there. I was doing 8 shows a week there for a couple of years. And then I had children, and which was amazing and fun.
Hi, Sutton. I love you.
I was blessed to be able to stay home for several years while I got to be a stay-at-home mom. And then once they started to get back into school is when I started teaching. Mm-hmm. So I'm in my 13th or 14th year of teaching. I've done music, drama, things, just lots of different things.
Wow. What are the things that are landmines in performing and getting so much attention? Why is it that we see so many performers get sucked into things that are not godly? Why is that a battlefield?
I think pride is a huge one. I think that when you grow accustomed to having all eyes on you and being told that what you're doing is amazing, and then you start to take that as in my own right and will, and I'm doing it, and that's just not the case. And so when we don't change our perspective and give God the glory and know that those giftings and those talents are all from Him, then the focus becomes completely on us. And we become self-absorbed, and then we become our own worst critic. And it is a really tricky thing. I remember when I transitioned to worship teams, I hadn't been on a lot of worship teams. And that was my, Lord, I'm not performing anymore in shows, but I do have a voice and I love to worship. And so I started asking my churches that I was around then if I could be on worship teams. And I remember the first couple years, I felt like I was performing.
Yeah.
And because that's all I had known was you perform. And I remember, I don't know, it was in Tennessee. It was probably 15 years ago now. I remember there was a huge shift in my perspective and how, because I would still get really nervous when I would go lead worship. I'm like, this doesn't seem right. Yeah. I'm worshiping the Lord. Who cares if I crack, if I make it? But it's because I was doing it in my own accord. I was doing it to sound good, to look good. And then I shifted and went, oh, this isn't about me at all. Mm-hmm. And I'm just being used to help others come to the throne and worship. And if I crack and if I go off pitch, I go off pitch. But I still gave my best. I still gave the Lord my excellence. But there was a big perspective change. And that, I think that people get stuck in focusing on themselves and what they're doing and how well they're doing and what it is and the accolades they get that come with that. We talk about that a lot with my students. We do this as unto the Lord. It's because of Him that you're even able to do this.
Yeah.
And some people don't take compliments. I'm one of them. And so it really helps me when someone says, you sounded amazing, or and I just turn it back on the Lord. I am so blessed to be here because it's the truth. Yeah. It is the absolute truth, and it makes it so much easier for me to thank you so much. God is good. Thank you. Yes, being a part of that team is just an honor, because it is, and I'm a sub on the worship team, so I don't sing very consistently, and so when I get to do it, it is a huge privilege, and so we talk about that with our drama students, and it's tricky when the focus is on you. Then things can go downhill a little bit.
So many of the most popular singers of all time, Whitney and so many others, started in church. And so I see you as a strategic player in this to help two kinds of kids. One is the ones that are going to be those entertainers anyway.
Mm.
Like my good friend Bethany, she's an entertainer, she's a performer, she's going to go that way. So you need a role model like you and Brianna. You need somebody who says, God gave you this gift and you can give it back to Him. It's not all about you and the things that you're talking about here. So it's a safeguard against those kids just ending up in the world like they see on YouTube and whatever. But then the other part is, and you probably have some examples of this, a kid is so shocked,
some really good ones,
paralyzed. Yeah. But then inside there is, who's one of the characters in Frozen?
Elsa.
There's an Elsa.
Yeah.
There's an Elsa inside.
Just say a butterfly.
Yeah. Okay,
whatever. Yeah, and a young person who's just paralyzed, but then comes out. My good friend Savannah. Mm-hmm. I was very surprised to see Savannah in a production, and she did so well.
They do. One of my favorite parts of my job is when I get the privilege of seeing students discover abilities and talents that they had no clue that it could be leadership. It could be collaborative. Like, I didn't know I work so well with other people. It could be an encourager, because not everyone is the star of the show. They're just, not everyone wants to be the star of the show. And so to have, and we talk a lot about how every part is crucial. We need those ensemble parts. Mm-hmm. We need the supporting roles. We need the lead roles. We need the crew members. We need the media team. None of it can happen without, it's like we liken it to a sport.
Doesn't it sound, though, even more so like the body of Christ?
That's just a there we go. That's
like,
what we're talking
that was my
about.
Scripture about that I brought to. I'm like, what scripture? I'm like, 1 Corinthians 12, just when we talk about all of the different giftings and all of the, not everyone's given those same gifts, and how special that we are not. Because then we can come alongside others, and it's so special just to watch them and watch that leader lead and watch that encourager encourage and watch that team come together and be, I didn't realize that I could work so well in this way, or I didn't know that I was so, you know, organizationally, what's the word, minded, that I am amazing at crew, or I'm a wonderful stage manager, or this fascinates me. And we teach, I like to bring into our theater departments, both at the middle school and the high school, that theater arts is not just being an actor on a stage. There are so many disciplines in the theater arts that you can glorify God in, and that it can be backstage, it can be on stage, it can be in conceptualizing whatever is going to happen on stage, it can be out in the lobby greeting the people and making their first step in a pleasant, warm, and welcoming one. And that is the joy of what it is that we do.
And I can see the joy in it, because my good friend Parker Kiefer and I are upstairs when you're across the hall in A1.
Yes, you pop in quite a bit.
They're having fun.
Yeah.
They're just loving it. They're enjoying the process and the product. I know they're probably feeling stressed too, like when it gets to be showtime.
I maybe don't help with that. We traditionally, you put on a production in about 70 to 80 hours of rehearsal. These brand new to theater middle schoolers do it in about 35 to 40 hours total.
Wow.
And so we are, boom, we teach a song, we move on. We videotape it. They have to practice it at home. There's a lot of personal responsibility that they're taught, along with those life skills that you mentioned, storytelling, confidence, projecting your voice, all the things, collaborative times. But they have to do a lot. There's a lot put on them. And it's the same at the high school. We just finished a production at the high school, and it was the same as about 35 to 40 hours total. We get them about 2 hours in class a week. Period.
Yeah.
And then we do have a couple of after school, but it is, they know it, but they want it so bad that most of them are at home doing the work and putting in the work. And that's also amazing to watch.
Yeah. The ones that I see in my family, like Evie, who was some like grandma in Willy Wonka.
Oh my gosh, she was hilarious.
She had so much fun doing it.
Flavor shifters.
That was amazing. You see how hard they work at it.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is because it's not because they're going to be some big deal and get famous, go Hollywood. It's because they're enjoying every bit of it, because that's the way they're built. Mm-hmm. Whether they knew it or not, that's the way they're built.
Yeah. And how cool to be able to do theater at church.
It is. We are blessed by Foothills and their, just all of their accommodations and their resources and everything. But it is really neat to come into the place that we worship and then also come in and put on a production that's just fun and entertaining, but yet constantly we're talking about how we're glorifying him through those talents. And it looks different than a Sunday morning, but it's no different.
Yeah, it's all in outreach.
Part of it. Yes.
You know, we did like Trunk or Treat. We've done like the December nights and like the Christmas lights. And I sometimes think, I'm someone where when I'm in like any event at church, I'll always be thinking about the people that are there that are not Christian.
Yeah.
Like when I go to the high school graduations, because I always am knowing some senior that's graduating from Foothills, so I'm always there. And I'm always like looking around thinking like, I wonder all these people here that like aren't Christians or don't love the Lord, and we're all like pledging allegiance to the Bible and we're leading worship and we're doing a lot of prayer. And so like I think about things like that of people coming on campus and the things that draw people to our campus. And it's cool that now we have theater to do.
Yeah, I love that. And we're blessed to be able to do it there for sure.
And we didn't have it before you.
Yeah, we fooled around with it.
Well, we obviously used to have it because we had a costume closet.
Yeah, but we sure did. And Roxanne Fulkerson, who went to Tennessee put on some performances and did a lot of great work. But it's so many things these days. There's a fullness of it, and God is breathing on it. Did you ever experience or do anything with Lamb's Players?
I only as an audience member, and then I had my sister-in-law.
And she was
has done some stuff there.
A lot of my friends were in it, and they would do it in the community and stuff like that. And you know what? God will use everything we give him for his glory.
I remember when CYT used to do a lot of community events, even like small venues. Mm-hmm. They had
little touring companies, like a swing touring or like an American and they would go and do.
I remember that.
Yeah, fairs and things like that. It was really sweet.
It was really good.
Yeah. I've got a couple questions for you, but one, and I'm thankful for this, you sent something to me, and this really was meaningful to me. You said, there is not an artistic ability that God did not give. He gave us these abilities, and it's my joy to watch students discover these and to nurture them, building their confidence so they can take that and share it in a production and giving a report in school or talking to someone about Christ with boldness. Mm-hmm. And this is part of that training. Mm-hmm. God did give us these gifts, and we can use every single one of them for his glory. Mm-hmm. And there's no reason why more and more, a chosen being an example, that we can't just do excellent performance, excellent quality.
Yes.
It's not what's good enough for church work.
I know.
No way.
Yeah.
So anyway, that really does expand into every area of life. Mm-hmm. The other question that I have, that's more of a comment, but the other question I have is, what would you tell parents who have kids that probably should be under your care and guidance in theater and all of that? Because there's a couple of kind of kids. There's the kind like Faye, who was just born Shirley Temple. And then there's others that it could just unleash something that's hidden.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you tell the parents?
By way of getting them into programs?
Well, I think to help them. Children are built certain ways. If you've got some kid, like I was always in trouble. I was always sitting in the closet. They called it the cloakroom back then in the 60s. I was out in the hall. Kevin talks too much to his neighbors. And now, and for many years, I get paid to talk.
Uh-huh. Yes.
But that's, you see your kid and maybe your kid is just irritating the heck out of you because they're going to mom, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
I think ultimately it's trying new things. So it could be theater, it could be a sport, it could be a hobby, it could be musical, in the musical realm. But there are a lot of kids who don't find their thing because they didn't try, and maybe the parents didn't know about different resources. Yeah. I feel, and you're right, there's a lot of kids who are going to come through our drama program, and maybe they do it in middle school and in high school, and then they'll never do it again. And it was a passionate hobby of theirs, and they just loved it, and they might not find other companies to do. It's just something they'll do in school. But then there are those kids that find it, and they find some kind of spark within them that it spurs on something else. Like maybe they'll have a podcast one day, or maybe they'll be on the news reporting the news because they had the confidence to speak in that way. Or maybe they do change the world for Christ in the theater arts in some way, or in Hollywood. I don't know. And only the Lord does. But as for parents, I would say, try different things. The kid has to be willing, though. That's the thing that's a little bit of a struggle, is that sometimes they might, and sometimes it works really well, because sometimes parents do know better, and they say, just try it. And, but kids, they do have to have somewhat of a willingness, right? That's why I love both the middle school and the high school, is that it's an elective. They've chosen that elective. They're not placed in that elective. And then they have to, okay, I'm here. I didn't want to be here. So there has to be a willingness to a point. But for parents, I would say you can just start small at home with like drama games and improv games and, hey, pretend you're a weatherman on and there's a big storm coming. How would you act? And the storm, the roof goes off the building at the news station and now you're in the storm. How would you act with wind and rain? And just see if that kid unleashes this physicality or this quick thinking. And because some kids are really great at improv. I'm not the best at improv. I'm probably better as an adult now than I was as a student, but it really scared me because I liked to be scripted and rehearsed and planned. And I have kids that are just like me when they were my age or that age, when I was that age, sorry. But then I have some that are just, they're quick thinkers, they're quick-witted, and you wouldn't really have guessed that. And unless you stuck them in some kind of environment in that way, or even played that game at home. We play improv games at home in our family. That's what we do. And I am not the best one in my family. I would probably, sorry kids, but my husband Ryan, he is by far the best improver. And then the second would be Jackson, my oldest. Yeah. He is an incredible improver with, I don't know, I have to say Parker too. Parker's incredible too. And he's growing into it, into his own right. But we have fun and we nurture that ability. And so there's ways to see if that's something that they would thrive in, and then find a company or a place, whether it be in school. Of course, I'm a huge advocate for Christian Youth Theater because that place the Lord used to change my life. And now my kids are in it, which seems very full circle and very special to me. And yeah, I don't know if that really answered your question.
I think it's helpful. And there's a tangent on it. One thing that Brianna and I have in common is we write and we tell stories, right? So with my kids, and now my kids are old, but when they were kids, we would tell stories and they were characters in the stories and they all knew which one they were. And so we'd be in the car going to school and we'd all tell stories and somebody would start it. And then the next person, and the next person had to put some rules because of the kinds of kids I have, they would kill their brothers and sisters.
Yes.
So you
no
can't,
violence. You we can't, say that in drill class.
Well, we believe in violence, but you can't kill your character off. Yeah, that really
hurts. It doesn't
make
for a great story when it's done after three sentences.
And now I'm doing it with my grandchildren.
Wow.
And it opens up something in their head to tell stories to, okay, so what happened next? What happened next? At first, all they do is steal videos and TV shows and all that. But then they start writing their own stories. Mm-hmm. And there's something wonderful about it. And I don't know if this is the Lord or not. There's something else I do with my grandkids, and I'm going to ask you this. I ask my grandkids, what do you dream? What do you wonder? We all wonder. So I want to know about you. Is the Lord put something on your heart these days? Is he speaking to you? Or do you have some dreams or something that you're wondering about right now that he's doing with you?
I'm always dreaming. But to be honest, like I said before, I absolutely adore my job. And what I dream is for the students that I have now. I dream big for them. I dream big for the program that I'm trying to create with the team that I do have. We had no budget at the beginning, and our previous principal, Lynn Olenskis, was like, we'll make it happen. And we did Charlie Brown with 18 kids, one set, one costume, very small budget. I made and painted all the sets myself and painted some of the costumes, and it was fantastic. And I've built other programs. I did it at the school I was at in Tennessee, and just being able to offer something to these kids that they've never experienced before. Cool. And so when I dream big, like we play the what if we won the lottery game sometimes. What would you do? I would build a theater. I would build a theater, and I would have fly space and costume rooms and rehearsal rooms.
Let's
I'd rent it out to other theater companies.
Gosh.
I work with several theater companies right now, and ones with special needs kids and adults. It's absolutely amazing and life-giving.
Amazing.
And CYT, of course, but first and foremost, Foothills, the middle school and the high school. And I dream big for them because I just want them to experience something that's mm-hmm. a spectacle and that's life-changing for them, because being part of the production's already life-changing, I think, for a lot of them, and we're making memories and yeah. and they're serving the Lord with the talents that they have. But I dream big for them. Yeah. I don't necessarily, I'm okay doing this for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
Exactly what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. But I dream big for them. I want bigger and more for them to experience.
I love it.
Since
the Lord can do more than you can hope or imagine, and you can hope yes. or imagine a lot.
He already has.
Yeah, yeah.
More than I would have ever dreamed.
So that is really good.
Yeah.
Brianna, what's Fly Space?
I wish I would have been in theater in high school, but I picked band. And I love band.
Band is rad.
And I love band kids. But I'm assuming that's when you fly through
It's like
space.
Peter Pan and they come yes. screaming okay, at the place.
It's actually more like your sets can fly in.
Yeah.
Oh, so hey, really tall vertical right. space. So I can, instead
like the Magnolia.
Instead of moving it on by crew members, literally you press a button and then you have one yeah. scene show up and one scene go away.
Then while we're at it, why yeah. not have the floor go up?
And I just want rotating stage, trap doors.
I have died to come in on a rotating piano for
orchestra pit.
Ever.
I would love a live
upside
orchestra.
Down drumming, that could be Brianna.
Oh, that would be so
oh
cool.
Oh my gosh.
No.
Yeah.
I see the Nutcracker every year. I'm a ballet girly.
Oh,
Cracker
beautiful.
Every year, and I'm always so like amazed in the scene when Clara becomes little
yes.
and the set becomes big, but how the set becomes big is that everything rises
yes.
on stage, and I'm always like, this is the best thing.
Makes yes, me think of
it's stunning.
The
just the creative
flying.
Realm yeah. of just the vision of so many directors, and I feel very small potatoes sometimes when I watch other things and just mm-hmm. I marvel at the genius of the layers that they create and the yeah. worlds that they create and the stories that they tell yeah. and I just want to do that for the students yeah. and show them that they can be part of
and
that.
And now with LED curtains and
yes.
oh my gosh,
yes. it's just on and on. Everything in theater is not Rocky Horror Picture
no.
Show.
No, it's not.
I want to pray. Yeah. Father, thank you for this time, because, Lord, it is the essence of you as a creator. And, Father, you just breathe on the things that we give you. So many people have been with us in conversation here, and so many different aspects of life. And, Father, I just ask that you would unleash our creativity and allow us to give it to you for your glory, Lord God. However that plays out, whether it's making an incredible cake, whether it's, Father, writing poetry, whether it's a performance, or it's just imagining, Lord, what you might do to a child who's fully given to you. We ask that you would bless everything that Shannon puts her hand to. And Father, all of those kids, would you continue to help her dream big and see those dreams come true? In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.